The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And good evening, everybody. This is the Odyssey Files on Para-X. It is Monday night at 6 o'clock, which means I am Mike O'Neill, and with me is my co-host, Dave Soering. How are you this Monday, Dave?
Now that I'm not standing out in the pouring rain, soaking wet, and I'm dry, and I'm doing wonderful. And it's another great Monday evening coming off of a really kind of fun weekend that we had. Got to go do something really cool. So yeah, no, things are good.
Yeah, no. Obviously, the show is not about talking about the Irvin ship that we did on
Saturday night.
But
yep.
The topic of tonight's show is the Farrar Schoolhouse. Which is located in Maxwell, Iowa. Now we do have a guest with us, who is not only a paranormal investigator, but he is also the building manager of the Farrar Schoolhouse. Unfortunately, like what we've been having to deal with for the last couple weeks, we're having Skype issues. He is trying to get on, so we are going to just continue the show and talk about Farrar, and hopefully he will be able to join us momentarily. So the reason why we're doing Farrar, not only because it's a special place, kind of just to Dave and myself, as you will hear with some EVPs and stuff like that, and stories that we're going to tell throughout this broadcast. But there's an event that we are hosting and that we are going to be at June 2nd and 3rd. It's a two-day paranormal event. There are still some tickets available for anybody who wants to still come after this broadcast. So we're kind of just talking about a place that means a lot to the both of us. Even though we've only been there once, it's still, at least for me, probably my top three, I would say. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's at least top five for me. You know, we only were there one time, and so it's really kind of special for me to say that it made a top five for being there once. But there's something about that place, and just the evidence that we drew out of there when we were there was, you know, phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Not only personal experiences, but actual stuff that we caught, that we documented. It's a great location, great owners, very accommodating. You get free run of the place, and it's active. And I mean, what else can you ask for, right? If you want to go looking for, yeah.
Exactly, 100%. So to give kind of people the broad history of Farrar and the schoolhouse, even though the cornerstone that they put in that kind of marks the date is 1921. But on April 1st, 1922 is when they actually celebrated the opening of the building. Hundreds were in attendance. They had a band playing in the auditorium. It was a huge deal because, Farrar, even though right now it says that the school is located in Maxwell, Iowa, Farrar is only a town of about 30 people and shrinking, which I don't know if that's possible. In fact, it says that the only population growth that is happening for this town is the number of people who are in the 150-year-old cemetery, which is right across the street from the school. So, but back then, which I think was pre Great Depression. Am I right, Dave?
Yeah. You're breaking up pretty bad, so I missed part of that. You froze up on me, but can you repeat that?
Yeah, well, I just said that the opening of the school predated the Great Depression.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I was going to make a comment on the cemetery. You know, we never got a chance to get over there.
No, I don't know if we were given permission to
permission to get in there or not, but it's literally right across the street. Like if you're standing at the entryway to the Farrar Schoolhouse and look to your right, you could see it. It's right at the end of the driveway, like right across the street from the schoolhouse. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it or not, but it's an interesting proximity to each other.
Yep, it definitely is. But it should be noted that not everybody was happy that this school was built. It had a $100,000 price tag on it at that point in time, which I think anybody can pretty understand that at that point in time, that was a lot of money. And that some of the citizens and whatnot of Farrar and the surrounding communities, they refused to attend the celebration of Farrar and that $100,000 price tag and called it a monument to the arrogance and vanity of the school board. I guess they just couldn't get behind a building with boiler heating, electric lights, and indoor bathroom facilities. Which I think is hilarious, just because it's all these things that we take for granted now that, you know, if there was even somewhat of a plan where it's like, we have outhouses, I don't think it would get past the bank loan.
Yeah, well, not only that, but the oil burning candles on the wall, you know, with the whale blubber, you know, for base oil. Yeah, I just don't think that was going to happen.
No. So it shut down May 3rd of 2002. I don't really know. I mean, I think that's a good question for Will to answer when he comes on. But I don't really know why it shut down as opposed to just like the walls of the building, which are all brick, were starting to crumble a little bit. So yep. I think I'm going to make the conjecture that the reason why it shut down was it just outused its building life, you know, sentence. It sat empty. I'm sorry, Dave.
I think too that maybe, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm kind of speculating with you here that maybe as it was starting to deteriorate a little bit, the population was so low for the actual student base that was going there that they just didn't justify putting more money into the facility, you know, like however many kids were still attending that school.
No, absolutely. I think that's a great point.
I mean, I got one more quick thing here for you. I just looked up on Dollar Times. And so with the inflation calculator, $100,000 when that school was built, we were guessing before we started the show. The buying power today is $1,653,643.84.
Nice.
So you could see why people in a rural tiny town probably were a little upset that they spent the equivalent of what today would be more than $1.5 million to build the schoolhouse.
That's absolutely insane.
That is crazy.
So like I said, it shut down 2002. It sat vacant for 5 years until the current owners bought it in 2006. After having a few personal experiences of their own, the first paranormal investigation was done in 2007. Since then, it's pretty much gotten more and more popular as the years go on. And, you know, they've had shows like My Ghost Story and Ghost Stalkers have both been there. I know Dave and I have both seen, I haven't seen the My Ghost Story episode, but I have seen the Ghost Stalkers one.
Yep. I saw the Ghost Story one. That was the first time I actually heard of the place. Yeah, there's a young couple that went in there, kind of broke in there, you know, just to not to destroy the place, but just to kind of check out if the stories were true. And that's the guy who saw the entity that they referred to as the monster, that was like 7.5 foot tall with the flaming red hair, and his legs were positioned on backwards. So imagine, and the kid said that this thing chased him down the hall. So imagine if you saw something about 7.5 foot tall and thin with like glowing red hair, come running at you, but his legs were like spun around the opposite direction. How freaky would that really look? You know,
you'd be like, I have never seen anything like that ever.
I haven't. No, I haven't either. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff, but I've never seen anything with its legs on backwards, but maybe coming up here in a couple weeks, we might.
I agree. You know, and I think, I don't necessarily think that that was what you would call it as, you know, like the true form or anything like
right.
that. No. You know, obviously over time, the spirits and entities have the ability to appear as anything they want to.
Yep.
I think that whoever it was, whether it was, you know, the supposed principal or maybe even the kids that are kind of messing around, you know, they probably just learned to appear to these people that would scare the living crap out of them.
Yep. And that would be my guess, is that that entity had the ability to see what this kid's fear base would be, so to speak, and then appeared and manifested himself as something that would totally blow this kid away, you know, like make him crap himself and take off running, you know. And I think that's true. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. So we have very, very good news. Will is online.
Yay.
So we can, yes, I agree. Yay. So you're going to bring him on now. So give me one quick second here. He pretty much said that took an act of Congress to get himself online. Oh, how we love Skype. Will.
Welcome, Will.
This is ridiculous, isn't it?
How you doing, Will?
My apologies, boys. Doing well, doing well.
Good. Nope, that's all right. We,
mess, but hey, we are.
We were able to stall while you got on. We pretty much just talked about the history of Farrar, and we pretty much left a bunch of questions for you that you're hoping that you might be able to answer for us.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Cool. You want to start, Mike, or you want me to?
No, why don't you go ahead? Because you had the question right. that you wanted him to answer.
Well, I've got a couple. So I'm going to throw one out there. So let's start with this one, Will. So the place has been investigated for about how long now? But the first investigation was 2008. Is that right?
2007.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Or 2007?
Yes, okay. And that was the very first investigation was with Jackie Carpenter and Nancy Oliver and her sister.
Okay. And that was basically to confirm the fact that Nancy had was going to fall, lost her balance on the stairs, and that she kind of got stopped and propped back up and kind of saved by that small entity. That little boy entity that they said?
Well, actually, excuse me, I apologize. Actually, Jackie Carpenter, she lived in Maxwell, local psychic. She was just driving home one day and drove past the school and felt something coming on. And so she went and knocked on the door and talked with Nancy Oliver and said, you know, I feel like there's something going on here. You mind if we come in and investigate? And Nancy had these experiences prior, but never really jumped into investigating them until Jackie Carpenter came along and kind of confirmed that, yeah, something was going on there and she wasn't going crazy.
Okay. All right. So based on that, and now I'm assuming that you've been around for a majority of the time since that time? Or at least know of, like what happened?
Yes, I've been actually connected to the schoolhouse for about 4 years now.
Okay.
I'm building engineer. I'm helping restore it for the Olivers.
Okay.
And we also run events and things with our team.
Cool. So if you can, Will, tell, you know, because there's a lot of various teams, obviously, and even some professional organizations, TV organizations. And when I say professional, I mean like TV, celebrity type of investigations. What would you say that you have heard and or seen the evidence of is the kind of craziest or scariest, or maybe you can give us one of each, or most shocking thing that you've seen as far as evidence and proof that came out of there?
Well, you know, as far as evidence goes, other people's evidence, I don't take it with a grain of salt, just for what I've experienced at the schoolhouse myself.
Okay.
I you know, whether somebody fakes something or it's real, I take it as real only because I have to believe it because of what I've seen.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, one of my profound experiences keep changing as time goes by. One of my profound experiences, one night, Jacqueline and I, my wife, we came to the schoolhouse to open it up officially for after the winter closing. And we went starting at the bottom floor, work our way up. Just, you know, we clean it up, straighten up desks, make it look nice for our guests.
Yep.
And as we get up to the third floor, both ends of the stairway, for anybody that's been there, both doors to the third floor were wide open. Second floor lights were on.
Okay.
We walked up. I could see the light on the south staircase, but it wasn't filling the hallway. Okay? It was blacker than black. We could see the light, but I can close my eyes in that schoolhouse, and I know how many steps to get to wherever. But I got turned around, and my wife was waiting down the bottom stairs because it's just so dark. And I says, "Babe, come up here." She comes up. Actually, she says, "Come down and get me because I can't see anything." I go, "Is this just unusually dark?" And she agrees. And I had this little puppet in my hand. We always our guests leave little trinkets for the kids.
Yep.
I had this little puppet that got moved downstairs, and I just went to go throw it on the stage. And I ran into the coat hooks at the bottom of the principal's office. That's how dark it was and how I got turned around.
Wow, that is turned around because that's down the hall.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I walk. I feel around, I get my bearings, and I walk through the door of the auditorium, the one closest to the stage, and it's just the same thing. I could see the moon outside. It's lighting up the whole outside, but it isn't filling the auditorium at all. So I guide my wife in, and we decide to hang out for a little bit. We don't have any equipment, anything, and a lot of times, as you guys know, that's when you get the best experiences.
Yep.
And if you're not trying to prove the existence of the afterlife, that's going to be your best time. Nothing. So we feel around and we decide to hang out and we go and stumble our way to the stage, tripping over things, tripping over ourselves. We get to the stage. We have seats. And, My wife is really good at getting our spirit friends to interact with us, and she's asking them, and then they're doing their various knocks on command, and at one point she says, "Can you show yourself to us?" And at that point, the light started filling the auditorium a bit, not too much, but just enough. And I look to my right, and what I'm seeing is a white figure sitting on the stage, not 5 feet from me, sitting there. And I'm looking, and I says, "Hey, babe, are you seeing what I'm seeing?" And she goes, "I think so." And we don't ever tell each other what we're seeing until later on.
Okay.
Just for confirmation. And yep. So there, and I don't have a flashlight or anything. And there was like five different times that, okay, I'm going to go get up because, yeah, there's this big old comfy white chair in the auditorium that gets moved around from our guests. And yep. I thought maybe that chair was sitting there kind of matrixing my brain, making me think there. And I started to get up five times to go see if it was that chair. But then I stopped myself five different times, and because it'd just go away if I got up. So we just sit here and we relished it for a while. And then it just kind of slowly dissipated and went away. And I remembered I had a cigarette lighter in my pocket. So I grabbed it just to see if, you know, the light changed and that was the chair. And now I just don't see it. So I flipped it on. And both of us at the same time says there's nothing there. Okay?
Yep.
So we had an apparition sit down on the stage after my wife asked it to show itself. And after that, we're both just looking out into the auditorium, and we're both seeing something. And she says, "Man, I think my eyes are playing tricks on me." And I says, "Well, I'm seeing waves." And she says, "That's exactly what I'm seeing." And what it was like was on a desert. What's the word I'm looking for? Mirage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Heat waves.
You see the. Oh, the heat waves. That's what it was looking like.
Yep.
And then the moonlight that was coming in the window closest to the stage, I looked down, and what I seen was like this really dense fog, and it was moving in like a serpentine fashion to the backside of the auditorium. And
Were you on the stage, Will, when you saw that? Were you guys, like, on the stage looking back towards, like, where the audience would be sitting?
Yes, sir. We were sitting right there on the stage.
Okay.
East side of the stage.
Okay.
If you're looking at the stage on the right side. And that eventually dissipated as well. Now, you talked about, you know, a professional coming there. The only, in my opinion, the only substantial show that was ever on, in my opinion, was Ghost Stalkers. Because that whole episode, they went through everything we do on a daily basis.
Okay.
They didn't embellish, and who better to run that whole deal than John Tenney? I'm the most honest man on the face of this earth.
Yep.
And well, you remember
that? I think that Chad could have not screamed so much.
Yeah.
I got to tell you what, I loved that. I mean, that was freaking awesome. I laughed my butt off every time.
Yeah.
But get, you know, on that Chad subject real quick, and I'll jump back here, but everything he's ever acted in, he died in, correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
Even Supernatural, he died in.
Yeah.
Yes. And he died on our stage. Did you see that? That was awesome.
Well, he's had a lot of practice at it.
Yeah.
He died. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I was honored. But anyway, to jump back, if you remember, the angle of Ghost Stalkers was they were investigating places with possible portals, okay?
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
And everybody asked me, is there a portal? And I always answer that question like this. I don't know enough about portals to comment yes or no. But I will embrace it because somebody else believes it. Okay.
Yep.
I'm not going to knock it because I think it's hogwash or not. Because what do we all know? Absolutely nothing. Until a ghost pulls a news conference, we think we know everything. But in all reality, and you guys might agree with me, everything we think we know evolves and changes.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely, yeah. There's nothing concrete about the paranormal. There can't be. Because if it was just static and concrete, it would already be explained, and we wouldn't be interested in exploring it anymore.
Yes, sir. So, I always said that. and I don't know if this is a fact or not, but I think possibly we were seeing a portal opening and closing.
Okay.
I don't know any other way to explain that because we've never seen anything like that before, ever.
Now, are you referring, Will, to when you guys saw the mist? Not the figure on the stage, which would just be an entity showing itself because you asked them to show you, you know? But that kind of that swirling mist, is that what you're referencing?
The swirling mist, like fog-like, and yeah. the heat wave, like mirage wave.
Yes, yes. Okay, gotcha.
You know what? I don't know how to explain that. And I mean, how do we explain anything in the paranormal world? But I think it's possible that's what I seen.
Yeah.
It was the portal opening and closing. And it was just after that entity was sitting on the stage that we witnessed. Okay. So, I mean, take it or leave it. That's what I believe. I'll never knock what anybody believes. I don't get all excited about orbs. Okay. But some people do. It's just not my thing. There are orbs there. There's pulsating orbs, but I don't get excited about that. But I don't tell them that it's hogwash because I don't know. So anyway,
well, you're on the right show for that because we're not big fans of orbs either. I mean, it has to be something that blows us away.
In fact, as you were talking about that, the only thought that's going through my head was, Will, we're going to get along just fine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yep.
Good deal.
So, now, Will, I do have a question. Now, do you feel that after 4 years of being in this building and, you know, being by yourself and working these events, do you feel that you've created kind of like a relationship with the spirits that are there?
I know I do. I tell you, I have more spirit friends than I do real friends, and I trust them more, you know?
Okay.
I every tour that I give at the schoolhouse always ends down in the boiler room, and I always tell them, any spirit in the afterlife, you have to deal with respect, okay? Because you didn't know them in life. You certainly don't know what they went through. And you wouldn't treat a perfect stranger at the local gas station that way, you know?
Yep.
You're going to get more flies with honey, especially at the schoolhouse. You're going to get better results. Yep. And I always tell them, these folks are my friends. And I ask you politely to treat them as such, you know?
Yep.
So the answer to that is yes. Yes, I've got a lot of friends there.
So, what do you think about the rumors, you know, the myths, the urban legends or whatever that surround, like the one they call, you know, the monster, or like the principal and the janitor, and that they're not exactly like the nicest spirits that are there, and that people have been attacked by them. I mean, obviously the kids are probably just kids. I mean, I agree with you that they deserve every respect in the world. But what do you think about, like, the rumors as to why the principal and the janitor are there?
Well, here's my outlook, and especially being part of the schoolhouse and being in there countless hours, all hours of the day. There is a darkness there. There is, it's not evil, there's darkness. And when I say darkness, what I mean, you know, people use the word principal, janitor. Nobody can substantiate that. There is a principal there. What most people need to think about is that school is almost 100 years old, okay? There were plenty of principals that went through there, and there are more than one principal that resides there now. Okay. But when I say darkness, what I mean by that is if you're sitting in your living room, sitting in your easy chair, some perfect stranger comes in, starts screaming at you and just plops it down. and you ask them to leave and they don't, that's going to put you in a pretty dark place. And you're going to probably help them out the door. Okay?
Yep.
That is... that. I hope that's not interrupted. I don't know what's going on with my notifications. I turned them off. But anyway, that is the darkness that's at the school. That is what everybody is witnessing. You know, I said just earlier that nobody knows anything. Well, I can almost say for certain, for a fact, that's what that is. Just because I've witnessed it. And now he follows me around. My wife has seen him as well. He follows me around. Now,
Who are you referencing as he? Are you referencing the principal that you are calling the darkness?
That's what people call him. The principal, the janitor.
Okay. What is he really like? I mean, since he's following you around, do you see him as something other than one of those two names?
Here's a funny thing, a funny story about that. The guy is huge. I'm 6'9", and he's the same size as me and the same build. Okay.
Yep.
I'm gonna give you a little story about this thought, and it's not even my thought, and it's kind of humorous, okay? I married my wife on the stage at Farrar, okay?
Okay.
I met her there. I proposed her there. I married her there. And John Tenney officiated the wedding.
Okay.
On the day of my wedding, he says, "I know who the tall shadow man is. You want to hear it? I'm going to blow your mind." And I said, "You know, you're going to blow my mind on my wedding. I'm about to lose my mind anyway. But yeah, let's go." So he says, "You are going to die, right?" And I says, "Yes, but I'm not, hopefully not soon, because I'm getting married, right? And if you die and you can go anywhere you want to, why not anytime you want to?" Okay.
Yep.
He thinks, and he believes, and you know, it's kind of backed up by some facts, but he thinks that it's me. I've died in the future, and I've come back to this time. And here's why it kind of works. Here's why it kind of works. I can't stand provoking, because they're my friends, okay?
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not, if I'm going to come in screaming like Zach Bagans, which I'm not a big fan, I'm not going to get the answers that I need and want.
Okay? Right.
He's grabbed my wife's behind, whipped her hair, and he messes with me, kind of in a prank kind of way. I can see myself messing with myself, you know. And I've never gotten any EVP from this guy.
Okay.
And I'm saying guy because of his build and his height and everything. I don't really know. Nobody really knows.
It's a guy. Because when we were there, we've got evidence that the evidence that we got in the principal's office, it was definitely male. Interestingly, when we play the EVP for you that we got in the auditorium, it's a British accented female.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I checked out those.
I actually did send Will both the EVPs that we're going to play.
Okay.
So he has heard them, but we have to go to commercial here really quick. It is 37 past the hour. Or 34 past the hour, I'm sorry. You're listening to The Odyssey Files on Parax. We'll be right back.
My name is Greg Bakken. I'm a writer, a producer, and a paranormal investigator. My favorite way of communicating with spirits is through using the spirit box, also known as a ghost box. I invite you to listen to me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central for interviews with people in the paranormal community and beyond.
Plus, I will also include as much of my spirit box evidence as I can during my show.
My name is Greg. Can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
Greg. Jeff.
Join me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central Time for Minnesota Ghost Box, only on Para-X Radio.
Rat! Rat! Where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rat! Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett! 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 Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear...
Line!
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Kloko, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
And we're back. It is the Odyssey Files on Para X. Dave and I are talking about the Farrar Schoolhouse in Maxwell, Iowa, with our very informative guest, Mr. Will Kunkel. Did I say that right, Will?
You did. Good job.
Perfect. Go me. Sometimes I'm really scared that if it's not Anderson or Johnson, then I'm just going to hack it. So yeah, what we're going to talk about now for the rest of the show is kind of getting Will's take on our own personal experiences, mostly Dave's, especially in like the auditorium in the principal's office that were just mentioned in Will's story. And the thing that got me, and Dave, you'll have to, you know, kind of say if you agree with me or not, but Will's story about like the fog and that kind of stuff really is similar to what you experienced.
Absolutely. 100%. When Josh and I went into the principal's office, so the background that we knew, and I'm just going to do this quick because I know we got a lot to talk about and not a lot of time left. So the background that we had heard was that something that had happened that was like a secret, and that it was possible that like some of the children weren't treated the way they should have been treated, and that it could have been the janitor or the principal or a combination of the two. And so we had never been there before. We came in there with that idea. Now, I didn't come in there with guns a-blazing. I came in there simply, and I said to Josh, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into the principal's office. I had walked through there already, and I said, we're going to go into that little room that's to the left that looked like a file cabinet kind of space room. And there were some holes in the floor, and it's a wooden floor. And I said, what we're going to do is we're going to go in there, and we're going to kind of get down on our hands and knees and say the evidence has to be here somewhere. So we're going to go like look into the floorboards and try and find evidence, and then we're going to pretend like we actually got some evidence. Like we actually found something that's going to clear up the whole story one way or the other. And that's what we did. And then we left the room attached to the principal's office. We had nothing in our hands, but kind of acted like we did. Went back and sat in the principal's office, and Josh was standing against the wall. And Will, you know that principal's office is not very big.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. And I sat on the desk with my back facing the large picture window looking over the hallway. And we turned off all of our equipment. And I said, now's the time to come clean. We've got the evidence. If you want to tell your side of the story, we turned everything that we had off. And I said, if you want to tell your side of the story, it'll just be a personal experience. I am 100% ready to hear what you have to say. And after I said that, within 10 seconds, the best way I could describe it is if you took a piece of dry ice and dropped it into a bucket of warm water, you would get this like foaming, silvery, misty from the chemical reaction of that happening, just like falling onto the ground. You know what I'm saying? And then that started right at my feet, okay? And then it started to rise, and it got to about maybe, you know, it was happening. I was kind of awestruck. I mean, I've seen things similar to that before, but, I mean, it was happening so close to me. It was literally like a foot and a half from me. So I saw it. It got about 2 feet tall, probably, maybe three tops. And just about then, I looked at Josh, and I said, Josh, if you have your camera, turn your camera on. We've got to get a picture of this manifestation, because that's what I thought it was. It was a manifestation of something that was going to come talk to us. As soon as he reached to grab his camera, the thing completely 100% disappeared. He got sick as hell and took off bolting out the door and had to get out of the schoolhouse and run for fresh air. So that's leading up to the EVP that we caught was as we were leaving the room, walking back into the principal's office to do what I just said that we did. And I felt completely fine. I didn't feel bad in any way, shape, or form. But I did leave the room to go check on Josh because I was concerned because he did not look good when he took off out of the room.
Yeah. In fact, in this the EVP that we'll play right now, you actually hear a lot of movement from Josh. And then just before the EVP happens, you hear him start talking about his head.
Yeah.
Like, there's some, you know, I got a headache or something like that.
Yeah. And it came on instantaneous.
Right. So I'm going... I'll play this twice so people can hear it, and then we'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Maybe something hit it just right.
I think it's so.
It's kind of odd.
That's so kind of odd.
Okay, so you know, as I'm listening to that piece, it almost sounds more like a golem, you know. Who's the guy in the Addams Family? The Addams Family, the Lurch? Like the butler,
Lurch.
Yeah. Lurch. It almost sounds like Lurch.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I thought first time.
What do you
make?
Sorry,
of that,
Dave. Will? Go ahead.
No, that's fine. As I say, because we were going to ask the same question. So, what do you make of that, Will? I mean, what do you think? You know, I wasn't being confrontational at all. I wasn't being provoking in any way, shape, or form. I just went in there with a gameplay of let's just see if doing this simple action elicits any type of response.
Right. I've got something similar. It's a different sound though. But like devil's advocate deal, you know, our good buddy,
Will, do we lose you?
He messes with a lot of dark stuff. And,
we lost you there for a second, Will. So were you thinking or were you talking and we just didn't hear you?
I was talking. You just didn't hear me.
Okay.
I'm not sure where I left off. But
All we heard was your good friend.
Yeah. It was before that when we asked you. We didn't hear anything after we asked you what your take on that is.
Okay. Our good friend Josh heard, and he messes with a lot of dark stuff. As you know, if you watched his movie.
Yes.
It could either be an attachment. I've gotten something similar before, but also that's when I came in fresh. I was my first. I was building engineer before my book night, and I booked a night before I was building engineer. And I came in just like everybody else does, that watches Ghost Adventures, right?
Yep.
And, I come up and I've heard all the claims as well about children's abuse and everything like that. So yep. I came in, I sat down on that chair And I put my feet up on his desk, and I'm calling the principal out, right? Like everybody does.
Yep.
And I got a similar thing. And then I also got an EVP of male's voice that said, I didn't do it, you know?
Yep.
And then I grew to change my ways and everything. They taught me the right way to get things from them. And I got that same voice on PSB7, and I can call him anytime I want, and he'll reply. I actually pulled a favor one time. But I've gotten similar, not necessarily in the principal's office, but down in the boiler room and in the gym. It's kind of a, almost like a growl. But it was when I was provoking, you know?
Yep.
And, I haven't got it since because I don't do that anymore.
Yep.
But you know, whether you went in provoking or not, you were still outside saying, okay, let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
They're all around us, right? Yep. So they probably knew what the plan was, you know, or he or she or all of them knew what the plan was.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think it's a pretty amazing piece of evidence. That's for sure. And audio is my love. That's what I'm standing there talking to somebody I can't see, and I'm getting replies.
Exactly.
So
Will,
I actually love that.
Will, are you sure that you're not the future version of me? Because it's like I'm interviewing myself.
I very well could be. You must be a good-looking man.
Well, I do say so in the mirror every morning. So to just kind of move on here. Dave, why don't you talk about my reaction to your personal experience? Because I actually went into the principal's office right after you and Josh were done.
Yep, immediately. So, you know, Josh takes off, right? He's as sick as a dog, and he bolts out of there. And I basically just turn around, and I'm kind of following him out the door, make sure he's okay. And I see Mike. Well, actually, I think I called for you, actually, to see where you were, like to come find you.
I know that at that point in time, I was in the auditorium.
Yeah, and I think I was yelling for you, like, hey, Mike, or whatever. And then
I came out, and I was looking for you, because I was like, where did Dave go? Because I think that I thought you were with us, and then you and Josh disappeared in the principal's room. So I was like, oh, let me go see how Dave is doing. And then we met up.
Right. So I meet up with Mike, and I said, oh, my God, the most amazing thing just happened. We just had this absolutely phenomenal personal experience. We were in the principal's office. We pretended like we were looking for evidence, and we found something, and then we went back in and said, hey, you know, blah, 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 and we already told the story, so I'm not going to reiterate it, but I said, you need to get in there right now. It's active. It's hot. Get in there and see what you can find. Josh is sick as a dog. I'm going outside to get some fresh air, see how he's doing. So, and I'm going to throw this in there, because as this was happening, Will, the windows inside the principal's office facing outside, not the one facing the corridor, but the ones facing outside, were completely saturated and soaking wet. I mean, they just had like steam and fog. It was that intense of an experience that the whole atmosphere in the room changed. So when I walked out of there, it felt like you were walking through marshmallow. You know, have you ever had, I'm sure you've probably had that feeling there. Like it's really thick air.
I haven't, the wife has. She likens it to walking on a waterbed.
Okay, there you go. So I leave. And I say to Mike, you got to get in there. It's all hot. Everything's hot. Get in there and experience what we just experienced, hopefully. And then Mike looks at me and he walks up there and I'm all like, man, pumped up that, you know, I just saw a manifestation happen a foot and a half from me. And Mike says, eh, whatever. Doesn't feel very special in there.
You know?
I'm like, what? That was amazing.
And the reason that we bring this up, and I had people with me, I had, you know, first time investigators,
and stuff like that with me. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I was trying to impress him, but just being like, eh, no big deal. It happens all the time. But while I was going through the evidence for Farrar that I still have, I actually caught the clip. And I don't know if it was because it was just funny or there was like an EVP in it, even though I don't really hear anything now. But I actually caught the clip that has me doing that. And even though I didn't send this to you, Will, I'm just going to play it kind of once so people know kind of what Dave is talking about. So I'm going to play that here really quick.
What? A little foggy. A little dense. Ooh, that's a lot of dew.
There's an energy in here.
This is heavy.
Really?
Yeah.
Eh.
See, I can't hear it. So
no, he can't right. hear it.
I can't hear it, and I don't know exactly. I didn't hear it that before the show, but I know kind of probably what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, you could hear. Yeah. It's pretty much just people like, that's a lot to do, and then just like, yeah.
whatever.
So, but Dave, I'll send that to you just because I think it's really funny. But
send it to me too because I couldn't hear it either.
Yeah,
no, I will. But yeah, you hear all of us just talking about all of this dew and it's, wow, it's really humid in here and everything. And I'm just like,
yeah, yeah. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I experience this stuff all the time. It ain't nothing big for me, you know?
Yeah.
It was funny.
I was just trying to impress.
It was in the fall, wasn't it, Mike? Didn't we do Chad's deal in the fall?
No, I think,
or
early June,
spring. Early June? Yeah, it wasn't very warm out when we did it. I mean, it was nice, but it wasn't like hot or humid by any stretch of the imagination. It was in the 60s probably, you know.
Yeah, it was either early June or early July. It was one of the two. I can't remember when, because it was a Chad Kalick event, and he was doing it for his birthday. So I can't remember when his birthday is.
Yep.
So
okay.
To finish up the show, which we have to do so pretty soon, is kind of like the best. I always describe it to people as the best EVP you will ever hear in your entire life. And it's again, Dave. So Dave, really quick, why don't you, and we actually played this EVP during our inaugural broadcast, because it was so good. So Dave, why don't you give just a very brief, kind of contextual story, as to what they're about to hear.
So I decided, based on the fact that I had heard that there might be something negative there that was attacking people, that I wanted to go into the auditorium and just see if I could get anything to react to me. So I was in the auditorium all by myself. I was standing on the floor looking at the stage. I had my recorder sitting on the stage, basically a couple of feet in front of me. And I had a friend of ours who was there at the time with my digital camera, just constantly. I told her, just take I'm going to go in there and just do a session, however long it lasts. Just take as many pictures as you can to see if anything shows up. And so basically, and Will, you know, the size of that auditorium, it was just me in there. There was nobody in the hallway. There were a couple people in the room adjacent to it, which would be, you know, behind the, like straight across from the stage if you went through the wall. There were a couple people in that room, but they were really quiet and they were kind of listening to what I was doing. So that kind of sets it up.
Okay. So I'm going to play this now. So this is Dave in the auditorium pretty much by himself, although you will hear the camera. And you're going to hear pretty much as he's trying to provoke or kind of challenge this, that he is in return being talked back to. This female voice. So we'll play it twice, and then we'll be back.
The white light I have inside of me scary? Is that what it is? Is your darkness so superficial that you can't do anything about it?
You don't scare me.
Is that why you went after kids? Innocent? Don't know any better.
You can be better than that.
Easy to trick.
and you steal the kid's innocence.
If you're hiding in the corner, come out.
They're destroyed forever. Is the white light I have inside of me scare you? Is that what it is? Is your darkness so superficial that you can't do anything about it?
You don't scare me.
Is that why you went after kids? Innocent? Don't know any better?
You can be better than that.
Easy to trick? And you know what happens when you steal a kid's innocence?
If you're hiding in the corner, come out.
They're destroyed forever.
Okay, and we're back. So, Will, you heard the clip, obviously, before the show, because Skype won't allow us to share our sound. At least I don't have that set up. What did you think of it?
I think that was amazing. I've never heard a British-speaking woman in the schoolhouse, but I've heard one other person say they have. So I thought it was fantastic, and I'm there countless hours, and I've never heard that. And it's kind of leading me to believe that yes, there is a portal there, you know.
Right. This is what got me, because I mean the last three times you hear a voice, it's pretty easy. You know, you don't scare me. You can do better than that. If you're hiding in the corner, come out. But what really got me, and we didn't even get this until like 2 years after this was caught. At the very beginning of it, this woman says, me and my best friend, we will live again. Now, I don't know if you heard that or well, because like I said, it took us 2 years to figure out what she was saying. But, I mean, does that ring a bell at all with you?
It really doesn't. It doesn't. I couldn't really make out what she was saying, but my goodness, how long was that clip? And that was that wasn't just a word or two.
No. It was a full blown sentence that she was, you know, aggravated with me talking about, you know, being full of white light, which I am, you know, and that them, you know, potentially something there being negative, full of dark energy. And that was kind of my take on it. I wasn't really in their name calling, like, you know, provocation like that. It was more of a spiritual type of thing for me.
Nice. So, Will, I have one final question. Now, obviously, June 2nd and 3rd, Dave and I and the rest of my team are going to be down there for an event. Now, there are a lot of events that get held there. How do like the children's spirits and whatnot, how well do they like intermix? I mean, I don't want to say perform, but I mean, do they like people coming in and trying to talk to them?
I think we lost Will.
Oh, we did lose Will. Oh,
I thought so. I thought Will. I just heard it. I heard a disconnect. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that does it for our show. But
there's enough good information here though, honestly, and a lot of stuff that Will had to say that I think that after we do the weekend, you know, I think that we should do another show based on what we catch fresh again, and then have Will on again, because he's got a lot more to say about this place. And I'm telling you what, people, for you guys listening that really like the paranormal and like some place that is active and where you don't have to be scared to go, but you could just enjoy the experience of actually communicating and get responses, this place is phenomenal. And I don't get paid by Farrar, but it is absolutely phenomenal. So
100%. If you want the details for the events, like I said, there's last I was told, which was this afternoon, there's 6 VIP, which is Friday, Saturday, and all the way into Sunday. You get the school for the entire time. There are 6 of those tickets left. There are also 6 just Saturday night and Sunday morning tickets available. You can find that information on the Odyssey Paranormal Society Facebook page. You can also find it at haunting@farrar.com. You can find it there as well. So that pretty much does it for Dave and myself. Obviously coming up is Mr. Matt Jessa with the Paracave.
Yep. No. Absolutely. I don't have any. I'm talked out, man. So you go ahead and wrap her up. I'm good.
All right.
Yep. I've said everything I wanted to say. So.
Good night, everybody. Have a good week.